unrest in the Middle East, the economic crisis in Europe, Iran threatens Israel, the moral decay of America. What are the prophetic trends, and why is prophecy important? Stephen LeBlanc discusses these issues and the events surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. And now for World Watch Today, Stephen LeBlanc.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. That's a quote from Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. Jesus Christ gave a riveting prophecy recorded in the book of Matthew. Here, Christ warns about an end-time abomination. Clearly, the setting of the abomination of desolation is one of the most important events in all of end-time prophecy. But what is it? Where is it to be set up? What does it represent? Now, we know from prophecy that at the time of the end, Jerusalem will be surrounded by armies. One of those prophecies is recorded in the book of Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "Look, I will make Jerusalem a cup that causes trembling for all the people who surround that city." Now, Christ also tells us to remember what Daniel said. Prophecies during the time that Daniel recorded his visions reveal that the holy place was the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem because God placed his very presence in that temple. Therefore, the prophecies that were given to him concerning the abomination of desolation, the pollution of the sanctuary, and the taking away of the daily sacrifice refer to a literal holy site. Christ clearly states that this abomination of desolation would be seen in a definite place. This is all going to take place yet in the future. So let's take a look at history today, because history gives us a clear insight into exactly what this future abomination is going to be. There's a figure from the past. His name is called Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a Syrian king. He did enormous harm to the Jews. He killed tens of thousands of people, and he actually set up an idol in the very temple of God. This Antiochus Epiphanes foreshadows a final dictator who's going to perform a similar act yet in the near future. Now first, let's understand the biblical principle of duality. Duality refers to a former and latter fulfillment in prophecy. Now, God usually gives a former historical type to help us understand the latter end time fulfillment. So the former is not the primary fulfillment of the prophecy. It only points to the latter fulfillment, which is the main focus and purpose of the prophecy. And now let's reach back into history. Historically, there was a Seleucid ruler named Antiochus IV, also known as Antiochus Epiphanes. Now this evil king used lying and flattery to become king of Syria. Now, this meant that Antiochus, as he became king of Syria, also meant that he was to rule over Israel, because Syria controlled Israel at this time. Now, the next verse explains that all those who opposed Antiochus would actually be swept away and broken. All of that came to pass historically. So let's remember, we're looking at the patterns from the past to help us to understand a future event, a prophetic event. So included in those swept away, I'm in the book of Daniel chapter 11, beginning in verse 21, of those swept away is one referred to as the Prince of the Covenant. This Prince of the Covenant is found in verse 22. Now this is a reference to a Hellenistic Jew who changed his name to the Greek form of Jason. Jason was appointed by Antiochus to become the new high priest, but he didn't last long. 3 years later, Jason was removed by Antiochus in favor of another Hellenizing Greek culture promoting apostate named Menelaus. Verses 23 through 24, I'm in the book of Daniel chapter 11, reveal that elements of the Jewish leadership actually made a league, a treaty of sorts, with Antiochus. This is a big mistake. Initially, Antiochus enters into the Holy Land peaceably, with only a small force. I'm picking up the story of Antiochus and this treaty and how he sees the kingdom through intrigue. We pick up the story in the book of Daniel chapter 11 in verse 21. In his place a despicable person will arise, on whom the honor of kingship has not been conferred, but he will come in a time of tranquility and seize the kingdom by intrigue. Now this is a reference to this evil king, Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse 22, the overflowing forces will be flooded away before him and shattered, and also the prince of the covenant. After an alliance is made with him, he will practice deception, and he will go up again and gain power with a small force of people. This is all a reference to Antiochus Epiphanes, how he comes to power, how he uses intrigue and deceit and subterfuge to expand his influence in the Middle East, particularly in the Holy Land. Now remember, this is ancient history. It's very important because understanding types and antitypes, understanding the past, helps us to understand the future. Now we're talking about treachery. When there was a time in the past in the history of ancient Israel, and Christ refers to this incident, that the Jewish religious leadership of that day makes a pact with this Gentile king called Antiochus Epiphanes. This is also very important because in the future, something very similar is going to play out yet again just before Christ returns. Now remember, this pattern is going to play out again at the time of the end, just before Christ returns, when certain Jews in Israel will come to an agreement with a European dictator who will take control of the Holy Land. Now, the Jews will begin to sacrifice animals somewhere on the Temple Mount. This all takes place in the future. Now, back to the story of Antiochus Epiphanes. So the Jews of that day, they make a league or a covenant with Antiochus. Now, this story takes place at around the year 168 BC. So what did this league or this covenant involve? The apocryphal book of 1 Maccabees, although not scripture, provides us with a fascinating history of this period of time. And I'm quoting from the book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 1. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men, who persuaded many, saying, let us go and make a covenant with the heathen that are around all about us. So the Jewish leadership of that day reasoned that if they entered into this agreement, this covenant, as it were, with Antiochus, this Gentile, well, this appealed to many people because they thought that they would finally have peace and they could adapt to the Gentile customs and everything would go smoothly, but it didn't. Now, initially, the Jews, when they entered into this covenant with Antiochus, they actually built in Jerusalem a stadium like those in the Greek cities. And many Jews had surgery performed to hide their circumcision. In effect, many Jews of that day wanted to become Gentiles. And these Jews abandoned the Holy Covenant. They desecrated the Sabbath. They started to associate with Gentiles. They did all other sorts of evil things. All of this is recorded in the book of 1 Maccabees. So many of the Jews turned their backs on the law of God. Now, this is a fascinating story. We actually have a booklet concerning what took place. We go into great detail. And the name of that booklet is The Great Abomination. It has to do with that prophecy in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, where Jesus Christ speaks about the abomination of desolation. Make sure to order that booklet. Order that booklet today. You can reach us at a toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. That toll-free number is 1-877-449-6753. The name of the booklet is The Great Abomination. We'll send that to you free. Back to the prophecy in the book of Daniel, chapter 11. We're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes and the abomination of desolation. Remember, Daniel's prophecy warned of Antiochus. In Daniel, chapter 11, and verse 31, it says, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices, and place there the abomination of desolation. That's verse 31 of Daniel chapter 11. So I'm going through this story because the basic pattern of this historical event, and remember Jesus Christ refers to this and the disciples knew exactly what he was talking about, this pattern plays out again at the time of the end, when we will see in the near future a dictator who moves into the Middle East. We believe he's going to be a European dictator. He will take control of Jerusalem. He's going to make a covenant or an agreement with the leadership of Israel, some type of pact with the Jews. The Jews will begin to offer twice daily sacrifices somewhere up on the Temple Mount. But then this European dictator, he's going to go back on his word. He's going to break the covenant. He's going to put an end to the Jewish sacrifices, and he will set up an image in a holy place in this Temple Mount area, specifically within this holy place. All of that is prophesied yet to come. And now back to the book of 1 Maccabees, because here we see the details of this historical abomination of desolation. We're taking a look at history so we can better understand what's going to take place in the very near future. So this Antiochus, now he issues a decree that all the nations in his empire should abandon their own customs and become one people. So all the Gentiles and even many of the Israelites of that day submit to this decree. Many Jews actually adopt the official pagan religion of Antiochus. They begin to offer sacrifices to idols. They no longer keep the Sabbath day. They willingly turn their back on the law of God. And this King Antiochus, he sends messengers with a decree to Jerusalem and all the towns of Judea, and he orders the people to follow the customs of his God. Now, he orders them that they're not to offer grain offerings or wine offerings in the temple any longer. And then he insists that the Jews treat God's Sabbaths and festivals as just ordinary work days. Now, the Jews are even ordered to defile the temple and the holy things in the temple. The Jews are commanded to build pagan altars, pagan temples and pagan shrines, and to actually sacrifice pigs and other unclean animals on the altar of God. And King Antiochus demands that Jewish parents do not circumcise their boys. Now, the penalty for disobeying any of the king's decrees is death. Then it happens on the 15th day of the month of Kislev. We're talking about the year 168 or 167 BC. The soldiers of Antiochus Epiphanes, they actually set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar of the temple. And it appears that this abomination actually is an image of the Greek god Zeus. They place this image of the Greek god Zeus right within the temple itself. This is a great abomination. In the book of 2 Maccabees, chapter 6, it tells us that Antiochus defiled the Jewish temple by dedicating it to the Olympian god Zeus. We're further told that pagan sacrifices were offered in front of houses and in the streets. Any books of the law of God which were found were torn up and burned, and anyone who was caught with a copy of the law of God or the sacred books of God was put to death by order of the king, and pigs were offered on God's very altar within the temple. Now, the account in 1 Maccabees chapter 1 continues. It tells us what else took place. Mothers who had allowed their babies to be circumcised were put to death in accordance with the king's decree. Their babies were hung around their necks, and their families and those who had circumcised them were put to death. Now, I'm telling this story today because a modern-day abomination of desolation will be set up in a holy place, in the holy place, in Jerusalem. This is going to happen in the near future. This Antiochus Epiphanes was merely a forerunner of the end-time king of the north, the world dictator that the book of Revelation refers to as the beast. Now, this end-time ruler is going to employ the same deceitful and underhanded methods that mark the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. Furthermore, it appears that what we've seen in these other scriptural indications that this end-time ruler will feign overtures of peace to the Jews of the modern nation of Israel. This is yet to take place. I think you're going to see it happen in your lifetime. You need to pay attention to this. You need to understand what this abomination of desolation is. Even Jesus Christ himself said, "Whoever reads, let him understand." I'm talking about that prophecy in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. I'll quote it again. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." Now remember, this Antiochus involved the cessation of the daily temple sacrifices. You can read that in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 31. Yet Daniel's prophecy makes it clear that sacrifices will again be ended in conjunction with a future abomination of desolation yet to come. Let's read about this. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 12. I'm in verse 9 of Daniel chapter 12. And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." Remember, Daniel himself makes it clear that this is an end-time prophecy. Now back to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you go your way, Daniel, till the time of the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of days." You're listening to broadcast number 195. We're talking about this Antiochus Epiphanes, who serves as a model, a prototype of a final end-time tyrant or dictator. Order today's message. We'll send it to you free. You can reach us at that toll-free number at 1-877-449-6753. Request broadcast number 195. It's a toll-free call. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. Let's go to Daniel chapter 8 and Daniel chapter 11. Here we're told that a person comes in peacefully. We're talking about the future now. A man who appears to be a man of peace. He then makes a league with certain parties. Then he behaves very deceitfully. He breaks the covenant. Then he defiles the sanctuary. And he sets up the abomination of desolation. A covenant is made, but he breaks the covenant. He causes the sacrifices and the offerings to end. And of course, there are no daily or twice daily sacrifices on the Temple Mount at this time. That's going to happen in the future. Now, Scripture indicates that before the return of Jesus Christ, a holy place is going to be used for sacrifices, and this holy place will be a designated spot in Jerusalem. Now, the prophesied cutting off of the sacrifices and the desecration presumably cannot take place without a functioning priesthood and a sanctuary area, which is part of what shows that a holy place with a functioning altar is going to stand in Jerusalem prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And to recap the story we just talked about, this Antiochus Epiphanes enters Jerusalem. He eventually kills 80,000 men, women, and children. It's a great massacre. He desecrates the temple by offering a sacrifice to the Greek god Zeus. This outrage is a forerunner of a comparable event that Jesus Christ said would occur in the last days. In Daniel chapter 11, we find an amazing prophecy about two leaders, king of the north and the king of the south, the heads of regions that were geographically north and south of the Holy Land. To understand this prophecy, we have to go to the time of Alexander the Great, who lived near the end of the 4th century BC. In the book of Daniel chapter 8, it gives a vivid account of the coming clash between Persia and Greece. As you read it, remember that a horn symbolizes royal power and authority. Persia had two horns, and two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. This refers to the Medo-Persian Empire, coming together of two nations of peoples. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 8, you see that the Persians rose to greatness after the Medes. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 5, we read of Persia's later defeat by Alexander the Great. I realize I'm going very quickly here. Once again, I'm in the book of Daniel chapter 8, which talks about the rise and the fall of Alexander the Great. So I'm reading from Daniel chapter 8 and verse 5, and it says, "And I was considering," this is Daniel, "I was considering when suddenly a male goat came from the west, across the surface of the whole earth, without touching the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Now, this notable horn represents Alexander the Great. The prophecy about his army not even touching the ground is a clear reference to the incredible speed with which Alexander conquered the known world. All of this was achieved in a very short time. Alexander himself died very young. He was only about 33 years of age when he died, but at that point in time, he had conquered basically most of the known world. Even his sudden, unexpected death was prophesied. We see in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 8, it says that the male goat grew very great, but when he became strong, speaking of Alexander, the large horn was broken, and in place of it, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. When Alexander died, his empire was eventually divided between four of his generals. These are the four notable horns. Two of these established dynasties would eventually have a profound effect on the Jewish people. Remember, the Jews were caught in the middle of all of this. These two dynasties were the descendants of the Seleucus dynasty that ruled a vast empire from Antioch in Syria, north of Jerusalem, and then the Ptolemaic dynasty, which ruled Egypt from Alexandria. So you have this king of the north, the king of the south, you have Israel in between. And now I'm jumping ahead in the story. Remember, we're in Daniel chapter 8. And I'm sorry to have to move so quickly, but we only have so much time. Let's get back to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, because it talks about this end time dictator who's going to be a type of Antiochus Epiphanes. He won't be literally Antiochus Epiphanes, but he'll have the same spirit, the same anti-Jewish motivations. We pick up the story in verse 23. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Now, we believe this is a reference to this final end-time European dictator, a type of Antiochus Epiphanes. Verse 24, chapter 8 of Daniel, verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully, and shall prosper and thrive, and he shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. In verse 25, it says, through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule, just like Antiochus Epiphanes did. And he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. And he will even rise against the prince of princes. Well, that could only be referring to Jesus Christ. So this end-time dictator, we believe he's going to be a European dictator. He's going to destroy many. He will become incredibly vain and arrogant. And he will even rise against the prince of princes, Jesus Christ. He's going to fight against Jesus Christ when Christ returns. And this reminds me of a prophecy in the book of Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation chapter 17, we see a final attempt to revive this end-time Roman Empire, this European empire. We see that there are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with this European beast dictator. These are of one mind. They will give their power and authority to this beast, this end-time dictator. You can read all about this in Revelation chapter 17, verses 12 through 13. And this end-time dictator, he's so arrogant, we're told in the scripture, that he's going to make war with the Lamb. He's going to make war with Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ comes back. But of course, Jesus Christ will overcome this beast dictator, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. So the abomination of desolation, it's going to happen yet again in the future. We're told by Jesus Christ that he who reads, let him understand. Hopefully, by listening to today's broadcast, you can begin to understand exactly what the historical abomination of desolation was, who Antiochus Epiphanes was, because there's going to be an end-time dictator, a European dictator. He's going to establish his presence in the Holy Land. He's going to take control of the Temple Mount, and he himself will erect an abomination of desolation, and he will put an end to the daily sacrifices.
Now make sure to order today's message. You've been listening to broadcast number 195. We're talking about this historical figure called Antiochus Epiphanes. And Jesus Christ refers to this figure as a type of an end-time tyrant who is actually going to cause enormous havoc in the Middle East. Order today's message. We'll send it to you free. You're listening to broadcast number 195. You can reach us at that toll-free number, which is 1-877-449-6753. It's a toll-free call. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. As well, we'll make sure to put you on our prophecy newsletter list, where we keep you updated concerning world events, and we discuss topics or events taking place in the Middle East, such as the civil war taking place in Syria. We also talk about Lebanon, because Lebanon is on the verge of its own civil war. And then we discuss what's taking place between Iran and Israel. Will Israel eventually attack Iranian nuclear sites? We also discuss what's taking place on the European continent. There's an enormous amount of chaos taking place in Europe. The year 2017 is going to be a pivotal year politically and economically for the 500 million people who are members of the European Union. There are going to be major elections in Europe in 2017. We'll be discussing these elections. And of course, all of this is it relates to biblical prophecy. The newsletter is free. Phone us to be put on our prophecy newsletter list. You can reach us at 1-877-449-6753. I'm Stephen LeBlanc for World Watch Today.
World Watch Today has been a presentation of the Church of God. To request literature or free audio CD of today's message, phone us toll-free at 1-877-449-6753. That number again is 1-877-449-6753. And don't forget to visit us on the web to view our latest blog on world news and prophecy. Our web address is worldwatchtoday.org. That's worldwatchtoday.org. Thanks for listening.